The Bible says Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you this morning as we have assembled in this place to worship you and to praise you and to sing to you and to offer our tithes and offerings as a sacrifice to you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and making the greatest sacrifice of all, that of your only begotten Son, God in the flesh, becoming a man to die and shed his blood to pay for our sins and rise again from the dead. And we just pray, my Father, that today as we look into the Word of God, you might challenge our hearts, that you might change our lives, that you might convict us of sin, that you might comfort us in our tribulations. We just love you, Lord, for loving us, and ask that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost, and we'll certainly thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read these verses, we're told of some things that are called precious. Now, the word precious comes from the Greek word timios, which is used in two ways. First of all, it's used to describe a thing of great value. Synonyms would be costly, expensive, priceless, invaluable. The second way, definition for it is this: a thing that is dear, cherished, highly esteemed, highly valued. And when a person considers something to be precious, it reveals their standards and their priorities and their value system. Precious things are things that are safeguarded and protected and treasured. Precious things can include people, material possessions, memories, and can be that which others may not find so valuable. What might be precious to you may not be precious to someone else, and vice versa. But as Christians, I wonder what we find to be the most valuable things that we have. What are the most precious things to us as Christians? Houses, lands, vehicles, gold and silver. Money, is that what you find to be precious? Perhaps prestige or position or power. Maybe people. Maybe a little baby. Maybe a child. Maybe a spouse. Maybe a friend. What is precious? Well, we want to look at some things that the Bible calls precious. Because if God calls it precious and God thinks it's precious, then we ought to think it's precious as well, right? God's putting his value assessment on certain things. And he says they're precious. And so we're going to begin this morning a short series called Precious Things. Things that believers should find precious because God finds them precious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." It is a privilege and a duty of each Christian to allow the mind of Christ to be formed in us. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In Romans 12:2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God says, I want to renew your thinking. I want to form in you the mind of Christ so that you think like I think, and you think what's precious, what I think is what's precious. That your value system would be my value system, and my value system would be your value system. When we are thinking like God, then we'll find that to be precious to us, that is found to be precious to Him. Now, when we're thinking like the world, then we will find to be precious to us that which the world finds to be precious, right? Now, we can verbally say that the things that are precious to God are precious to us. But it is the demonstration of our lives in which we prove the sincerity of our words. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus said this, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We can have all kind of platitudes, can't we? We all know the right things to say. We all know the spiritual words. We all know the phrases. We all know what we're supposed to say as born-again Christians, don't we? But it really doesn't matter if what we're saying is acceptable, but what we have in our hearts is different than what we're saying. That's what the hypocrites did. They honored Him with their words, but their lives demonstrated the emptiness of their profession. 1 Timothy 6:12, the Apostle Paul says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And so there's a profession of faith right there. And Timothy has this profession of faith. He's made a good profession of faith. He's told people he's trusted Christ. He believes on the Lord. He's born again. He's a child of God. He's a Christian. All those things. Now, Paul's told him, listen, if you want to back that up with a life that is compatible with what you're saying, you've got to lay hold on eternal life. You say, well, what does that mean, lay hold? Well, it's a Greek word, epilambanomhi, and it means to seize for help. You see, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to need help in living the Christian life, amen? And if you've got a good hold, a good grip, a good understanding, and a good insight that you have eternal life, it'll help you. The word means to seize, not only for help, but in time of injury. Lay hold on eternal life. Seize it for time of injury. It also means to attain. So when we truly get a hold of the reality of eternal life, its reality will be a help to us in trouble, a healing in time of injury, and an inspiration when we need to attain for the glory of God. You following me? You got it? You see, some people have eternal life, but they haven't got a hold of what all that means. They haven't gotten a realization of it. They haven't gotten an appreciation of it. But when you do, and you get hold of it, and you seize it, it's going to pull you through and help you. It's going to pull you through and heal you. It's going to pull you through to attain that which God wants to attain in your life. So what are some of the things that God calls precious? Well, number one is right here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. It's called precious faith. Look what he says. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like what? Precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Surely our faith is precious. But what faith? Jude 1:3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, It was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now there, Jude is talking about a body of doctrine that is the bedrock of Bible Christianity. A body of doctrine called the fundamentals of the faith. I'm going to just tell you, we are independent. That means no one tells us how to run our church. No one tells us what we have to believe. No one sends any dictates to us. Nobody tells me when to leave and go to another church. We're independent. Whatever that church over there wants to do, they can do it. But we run our own affairs under the headship of Jesus Christ. So we're independent. But we're also fundamental. What does that mean? That means we believe the bedrock doctrines of the Christian faith, the fundamentals of the faith, those doctrinal teachings that make Christianity what it is. We hold to those. And we're a Baptist church. What does that mean? Well, that's a whole nother message, but the Baptists have specific distinctives that are based upon the Scripture. Called Baptist distinctives. We won't get into all those today, but they're awesome. It's what makes us Baptist. But everything we believe is based upon the doctrine, the fundamental doctrine. This is the faith of the apostles, the faith of our forefathers, the faith of the martyrs. Peter is stating that we, along with Peter and Paul and Barnabas and Andrew and all those who have come before us, we have the same precious faith. In other words, we're believing the same thing Paul believed and the same thing Peter believed and the same thing James believed. We have the same precious faith, valuable faith, costly faith, dear faith, cherished faith. Precious means to cherish, to highly esteem, and to find dear. Therefore, it is worthy to be earnestly contended for. Amen? Do you find your family precious? Would you fight for your family? Would you contend for your family? Why? Because it's precious to you. When our faith is precious to us, we're willing to contend for it. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and find people to beat up. It means that whenever there's an attack on our faith, we're not going to cower and run away. We're going to stand up and contend for it. We are going to work at keeping the doctrinal fundamentals intact. When we look at the great men and women of the faith, we might somehow think that they had some special standing with God. However, the Holy Spirit is helping us understand here that anyone and everyone who has righteousness through faith in Christ has equal standing before God and those who have gone on before us. Paul was no more a Christian than you if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe the Bible. Peter wasn't any more a Christian than you. Because we believe the same thing, understand? That like precious faith. Now, the Holy Spirit is helping us understand. What does the Bible say, Ephesians chapter 2? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the book of Ephesians was written in 61 AD. However, the same salvation is yours by faith that was available to the Ephesians by faith and was available to Paul by faith. The same salvation. Now, it says here, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I looked that word obtained up, because it almost seems like the word obtained, it sounds like maybe you did something to get it, to obtain it. It's a very interesting word. It is the word lankano. It means this, being allotted to, not by acquisition, but by divine grace. So this like precious faith isn't something that we climbed a mountain to get. It wasn't something that we performed a deed to acquire or to obtain. It wasn't something that we had to work to obtain. It is something that was given to us by lot, by divine grace. In other words, when you trusted Christ your Savior, God gave you the salvation of the Christian faith in Jesus Christ. He allotted it to you. That's why Ephesians 2:8, 9, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. Now, this faith is precious because it cannot be earned or deserved or acquired by any human means, only by believing God. It is a faith unlike all other faiths upon planet Earth. This Christian faith is the only faith of grace. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. And even all Christianity is not the faith. Because there are those who call themselves Christians who teach that you have to earn your salvation. Therefore, they're not believing the faith. This faith also gives us a standing before God in Christ. The righteousness of God means that we are not criminals who have been pardoned and turned loose. We have been given a standing before God. He has subtracted our sins and added His righteousness to us. How precious is that? How precious is it when a dirty old rotten sinner comes and trusts Christ as Savior, and now I have a standing with God? That's precious. That we should stand before God justified because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. I want to ask you, is that precious to you, Christian? Is your salvation precious to you? Is the faith precious to you? The doctrines of the faith, are they precious to you? Do you find them to be valuable? Do you see the reality? So the first thing, we have this precious faith. But then we have number two, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we have precious promises. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we have these precious promises. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. That phrase, exceeding great, it means it's the greatest promises of all. How about this promise? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you get a bigger promise than that? Is there a greater promise that has more exceeding power than that promise? You're on your way to hell, justly and deservedly so, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved from that eternity? That's a precious promise, don't you think? What promises do you have from any other source whatsoever that are greater than the promises that you have from God in His Word? What other promises can you count on more completely than the promises you have from God in His Word? That's why they're precious. Who can you trust more to fulfill promises than God? And who is able to fulfill promises more than the omnipotent? That's why the promises are so precious, is because I can count on them, I can trust them, I can put my life on them. Precious promises, great and exceeding precious promises. Sometimes I think we take them for granted. We don't think how precious they are. We don't love them and appreciate them and cherish them like we should. The promises of God. We can open this book and we can find promises from God the Creator to us, to me. These are promises He's made to me. And over the years, my wife and I have often said, well, God promised it. So He has to do it. Listen, if you'll call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, God has to save you. Why? Because He promised. And I will make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's a promise of God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise of God. So no matter where I'm at, what I'm going through, God's right there. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. We might feel forsaken, but we're not forsaken. Why? Because He promised He wouldn't forsake us. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. So I know that I have eternal life. I don't feel like I have eternal life sometimes, but you know what? I've got a promise that cannot be denied. Amen. Why? Because God made it. Man, that's a I get promised. You don't know how many things I've been promised over the years. Over the decades of pastoring, people promise me they're going to do things. And people promise me they're going to give me things. And people promise me this and promise me that. And you know how many of those fell through? A lot. But not one single promise that God's made me will fall through. That's precious. That's valuable. And it's inestimable. The value of such a promise. When I feel down, I can go to the Word of God and get some promises. Build me up. And what promises are of greater value or greater nature than those that are given by God? The answer is none. Nobody, nowhere, no how. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. So God said, you can stand on it, you can count on it, you can trust Him. Don't waver in our profession of faith. Why? Because God's backing it up with godness. You know what He's promised us? He's promised us eternal life in 1 John 2:25. He's promised His coming in 2 Peter 3:4. Now, a lot of people don't believe in His coming. A lot of people are making fun of His coming. A lot of people deny His coming. But I know He's coming. Why? Because He said He's coming. That's all I have to have. Well, when's He coming? Where's the promise of His coming? The promises of coming is right here in the Word, and He'll come when He's ready to come. He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All the people that are making mocking His coming, they should be glad He hasn't come yet. Because He's being long-suffering, waiting for them to change their mind and trust Christ. He's promised us a kingdom in James chapter 5. Or 2 in verse 5. He's promised new heavens and a new earth in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. He's promised crowns in James chapter 1 verse 12. He's promised us an inheritance in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. He promised us the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 verse 33. You say, well, how do you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? Because God promised. That's how I know. Well, how do you know you're saved? Because God promised. Precious promises. No one else can promise such things. And no other things are more precious. See, this is what God finds precious. Number three, 1 Peter chapter 1. Just turn a little bit to your left. 1 Peter chapter 1. Precious blood. Number three, precious blood. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, or without blemish and without spot. Wow, isn't that awesome? The word precious is applied to the blood of Christ. That's not applied to other blood, just the blood of Christ. Now listen, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross, is of inestimable power and value. There's no other blood that can save you except the blood of Jesus. No other blood can wash you from your sins except the blood of Jesus. It's more valuable than silver and gold, is what it says. If you had all the silver and all the gold in the world, it wouldn't purchase one micro drop of the blood of Christ. And it couldn't save you. What are you going to offer God? All the gold and silver? It's His anyway. He created it. It's more valuable than the traditions and religions of men. It took the sinless and perfect blood of Christ to pay for your sins and mine. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Listen, if you ever hear of a bloodless atonement, it's a lie of the devil. It's false doctrine. Jesus Himself said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And there are those who have taken all the blood hymns out of their hymn books. I remember there was an older lady when I was much younger. She was an older lady, and she used to come to our church. And she said, one of the reasons I like coming to your church, she was a member of another church, but she came here. She said, one of the reasons I like coming to your church is you still sing the blood song. Listen, friends, we're always going to sing the blood songs. Because if it wasn't for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we'd have no hope. We'd have no salvation. It's precious, 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 precious blood. The blood of Christ is the blood of God. He is God in the flesh. When He died on Calvary's cross, that was God bearing our sins, becoming sin for us, and shedding His blood so that we could be saved. That's precious. That's precious. No one else has ever done for you what Jesus has done for you. And even if they laid down their life for you, it still wouldn't forgive your sins and save your soul. Only His life and shed blood. You see, there's no person, power, or thing in all the universe that accomplished such things. Our salvation is precious because the blood is precious. Salvation was costly. It was expensive. It was priceless. Because it took the precious blood of Christ to accomplish. So we have this precious blood that was shed for you. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 2, we have precious Savior. A precious Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Speaking of Christ, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He also has lively stones or built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So he's saying here that to us who know Him as Savior, He's precious. But to them who do not know Him as Savior, He's not precious. How many times have you heard someone take the Lord's name in vain? We won't do that. Why? Because He's precious to us. How many times have you heard people make jokes about Jesus or about God. We don't do that. Why? Because He's precious to us. The promises are precious because the blood is precious, and the blood is precious because it is the blood of the precious Lord Jesus. Three times the Lord Jesus is called precious in this passage. In verse 4, it says He's precious to God. God the Son is precious to God the Father, so He ought to be precious to us. In verse 7, He is precious to us. And He's the chief cornerstone of the spiritual house, which is the church, according to verses 5 and 6. He says, ye also, you believers, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. We're the spiritual house, each one of us, making up a spiritual house. We are lively stones, each one of us, a living, breathing stone in the house of God. But Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the one who holds it all together. He's the one that all the weight bears. The whole weight of that building is on that cornerstone, and everything's tied into that cornerstone. It's precious. The word precious means cherished. He is cherished by those who know Him as Savior. The word precious means of great value. He is of great value to us who know Him and love Him. The word precious means highly esteemed. He has a name that is above every name. And those of us who have believed on Him highly esteem the name of Jesus, don't we? 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, ye love. Something in someone who is precious is worth protecting and contending for. You see, the faith is precious, and we are told to earnestly contend for the faith and stand against all false doctrine. The promises are precious, and we should hold forth the word of life, protecting the integrity of the King James Bible. That's where the promises are. The blood is precious. We should never allow the blood to be relegated to insignificance or compromise its necessity for salvation, nor its sinless character, nor should we ever be ashamed of the blood of Christ. The Savior is precious. We should always exalt and promote the Lord Jesus as the Son of God and God the Son, and never allow His name to be tarnished. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. If we see the Savior as precious, then we should see the things of God as precious. Titus 2:10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. I told you what that word adorn means. Means to be an ornament. You're supposed to be the ornament on the doctrine of God. You're the parsley. You're the on the doctrine of God. You know, they bring you a steak out and it's got parsley next to it. You know why they put parsley? So it's just not a brown thing. They put a little parsley to give a little color. That's called a garnish. Or they'll put something else there as a garnish to make the steak look even better. Now, I don't need parsley. You bring me a steak out, I'm eating that thing without any adornment. But they put it on there to make that steak look tasty and make it look prettier. We are the garnish on the doctrine. We're supposed to make the doctrines of God look prettier. We're the ornament on the tree. We're supposed to make the tree look prettier. Why? Because He's precious to us. That's why. Why do we live the way that we do? Why do we not do the things we don't? Because He's precious to us. Why do we sacrifice some of the things of the world? Because He's precious to us. Why do we give? He's precious to us. Why do we worship? He's precious to us. Why don't we and why do we? Because He's precious to us.
If we see the Savior as precious, then we should find His church and His people as precious. 2 Corinthians 6:3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. If we see the Savior as precious, then we should find His gospel as precious. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. If we see the Savior precious, then we should see our calling and our testimony as precious. Now hear me this. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Why? Because He's precious. And His blood is precious. And His promises are precious. And the faith is precious. Therefore, we'll do this. I'm going to read that again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. If Jesus is precious and we know there's some filthiness of the flesh in our lives, we need to cleanse ourselves of it. The living out of your life puts gravitas behind the words coming out of your mouth. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask those of you who are saved, you've been born again, you have like precious faith. Is your faith precious to you? The faith, is it precious? Have you thought of it in those terms? The promises, the blood, and the Savior, are they precious to you? Have you thought of it in those terms? And because they are precious, does it make a difference in your life? You need to speak to be heard, and you need to live to be seen, that the gospel might be believed. If these things are precious to you, act like it. And maybe this morning you just need to come and say, Lord, I haven't thought of it in those direct, stark terms. And I start remembering how precious the things I have of God are. And my life needs to reflect their preciousness to me. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe you're watching, you're listening. These precious things are not of this world, they're of God. They transcend this old world and bring you in touch with the things of God. Religions and traditions only complicate and confuse the matter. They are man's attempt to worship God on his own terms. Philosophy will fail because it's man's own attempt to know the unknowable. But the Bible is God's word, and it will not fail, and it cannot fail. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe this morning, dear believer, or unbeliever, you're here today, you have never been born again. Maybe this morning's the time. This is the place. Now's the time. For you, once and all, once for all, to put your faith in Christ. To call on Him right where you are. You say, preacher, I believe what you've said from the Scripture. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I need to be saved. And I believe that Jesus and His shed blood is the only payment that God will accept. And I want to receive that payment right now. I want to ask Jesus to be my Savior. You can do it right where you sit, and I'll help you if you want me to. If that's what you need to do, I want you to look up at me. You're looking up, and I'm looking at you. You're looking at me, and we know that we've made eye contact, and that's what you want to do. You would like to be saved right here, right now, before it's eternally too late. Father, we thank you for these precious things. And Lord, to be honest, We don't that often think of them in that way. We've been thankful, we've been appreciative, but have we really thought them as precious? And do our lives substantiate that claim that we do call them precious and see them as precious? I pray it help us as Christians that we might show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And if we think that these things are precious, then we'd act like it and we'd talk like it. Help us today, Father. And if there's anyone here that needs to be saved, anyone watching or listening, give them the grace to trust Christ before it's eternally too late. We thank You, we praise You, and we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's